Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, November 10th, 2016, and with me today, continuing on with my series of interviews with cool authors, I have an independent author, writer,
journalist,
yeah. Amy Gran.
Garen,
I can't believe I did that. I know how to say your name.
Yeah.
I'm really sorry about that.
That's okay. Everybody messes it up. That's why.
Well, okay. Well, I guess I'm an individual just like everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're not a unique and special snowflake.
Story of my life. Well, okay. So I'm glad you're here. Thank you for taking the time to come. Before we talk, though, hey, I have a sponsor. And that sponsor is Casper Mattresses. And I'm really pleased that Casper has been sponsoring us all week because they make the bed that I sleep in. And it's a great mattress because it's designed properly. It's the right kind of foams put together in the right way so that you have this kind of, a sleep sandwich, I guess. But you're not actually sandwiched inside because you don't sink in and you don't sit on top like you're on a board. It conforms to your body just the way you need. And if you want to do more in a bed than, say, sleep, no problem. It has the right kind of give for whatever it is that makes you happy in bed, which is a cool thing, too. Also a cool thing, their prices are below what you're going to pay for competitors' foam mattresses. So instead of having to spend, say, like $1,500 on a mattress, you can pick up a queen-size mattress like what I have for $850. And even better, they deliver it right to your door. They don't charge shipping costs. And you get this box that's actually not big enough for what's inside, or so you would think. When mine showed up, I thought that they sent me the wrong size. But I pulled it out of the box. Turns out, nope, it was a queen mattress. 5 minutes after it comes out of the box, you can lay down and take a nap if you want. So $850 for a mattress like mine, pretty good deal. The deal gets better, though, because they are offering our listeners a $50 discount. And here's how you take advantage of that. What you do is go to the Casper website. That's casper.com/TDO. Use the discount code TDO. Get yourself $50 off your mattress, and it's going to be delivered right to your door. If you decide you don't like it, well, first, I will be shocked. Absolutely shocked. But you have 100 days to test it out. So if you don't like it, they will come and get it for you. No problems. Don't charge you anything for that. And you get your money back. So check it out. It's totally worth picking up one of these mattresses. I love mine. That URL again is casper.com/TDO. Use the discount code TDO. Get your mattress shipped to you right away. And thank you, Casper, for being our sponsor. Okay, Amy.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming.
My pleasure.
It's great to have you here. And the reason I wanted to have you on today is because the process that you are doing to bring your book together, the book
Books,
you're writing.
Plural. It's a series.
Oh, that's right, a series. Mm-hmm. So the process you're going through to create this series of books, I think is absolutely fascinating. And I haven't seen anyone go through as much work to put together something like this. So I've given everyone a big buildup. Tell me about your book series.
Well, that's true. That much work could mean I'm either doing it really right or really wrong. We'll see. The book series is off the relationship escalator, and it's offescalator.com. And what it is a series of books about unconventional intimate relationships.
Okay.
So relationships that involve some level of intimacy, sex, romance, deeper emotional intimacy, that don't conform to social norms in some significant way. And, I'm interested in this because I've had unconventional relationships for a long time. I'm non-monogamous, a polyamorous, to be specific, solo poly, to be even more specific, but we don't need to get into all the details. And what I've noticed from being in unconventional relationships for quite a long time now, nearly 20 years at this point, is that there are all sorts of of issues that people face that are not familiar to a lot of people. Then I started getting, thinking about, well, why do people have these ideas about what relationships are supposed to be like? And I thought, well, you know, I've been doing this long enough, I might as well write a book about it. I've been a journalist for 25 years. Mm-hmm. I avoided doing books for a reason. Nobody makes money on books. And I've been self-employed for so long that I wouldn't do something like this if I didn't think I could make a business out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So after thinking about it, I said, well, I'll do the easy thing. I'll put up a survey online, ask a few open-ended questions about unconventional relationships. See what people say. I'll get maybe over the course of 6 months, maybe 100 responses, and I'll, you know, pick from that 20, 25 people to interview. Boom, you know, put it together, got a book out in like 6 months, right? It's 4 years later now.
Yeah, you know, having written a book myself, I totally get the thing about, all right, well, I just need to put together this stuff real quick, and then I'll be able to bang this book out, and we'll be done, and then I move on to the next thing, and the money starts rolling in, and a year later, you're like, holy crap, is this project going to end? But you're actually 4 years into this.
I am 4 years into this for a reason. So I put the survey up online, and I posted a total of 6 announcements about it in various kinds of online discussion forums about various kinds of unconventional relationships, not just non-monogamous ones, but relationships that asexual people might have, or to kinky forums, things like that. And just six announcements.
Mm-hmm.
I had 300 responses in the first week.
Wow.
And people were writing the equivalent of about 1,500 to 2,500 word essays in most of these. They were telling me so much stuff. And I did no further promotion other than mentioning it in a blog that I was writing at the time. And it just kept pouring in. Over the course of a little more than a year, I got 1,500 responses. And again, most of them were big,
mm-hmm.
big ones,
mm-hmm.
big stories. And I was like, this is bigger than I thought. And I was reading through the surveys. I realized I was getting more information than would ever go in any one book. And this is information that needed to be out there. So I built a database.
Okay.
And I probably built it badly, but I built my own database, and this was to parse out information so I could see patterns in what people were telling me. And based on those patterns, I outlined my book, what I thought was going to be one book, and realized, like, no, this is going to be one, and then there were several more. And I started to pull together, pull quotes out of the survey. Then I used a tool called Scrivener. And I understand mm-hmm. you interviewed John Barber, and he uses Scrivener. I use it very differently than he, or I think anybody else uses it. One thing I like about Scrivener is that I was able to include in it, under the research section in Scrivener, a library of all my quotes that I curated out of the surveys, sorted by topic and subtopic.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I was filling out the book, I would write, a little bit of, explanatory or bridging text and drag up a quote in between. My whole book is Legos, basically. And I can mix and match quotes around, see what quote might illustrate a point better.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, and all the quotes are basically the factory floor. So I wrote the first book. It was so big. I ended up splitting it into two books, so I'm mm-hmm. going to release two books at the same time. And this is all pulling stuff out of the library of quotes. Now, since this all came in from surveys, I have metadata associated with each quote. So I can uh-huh. tell which survey I got specific quotes from. So then I can go back to the people that I got the surveys from, which incidentally, over 90% of them voluntarily gave me an email address. They didn't have to. And that's a big deal because most people who are having some kind of unconventional relationship are more or less in the closet about it.
Mm-hmm.
They really were engaged with this project. They really wanted to be involved. So I can go back to these individuals and say, wow, thanks for participating. I know it's been a few years, but you know what? I actually ended up using a quote in the book. Here's the quote in context. And oh, by the way, here's a 50% off coupon for you and 25% off coupons for 5 of your friends generated through a coupon engine so that I can track who are my best evangelists because I'm self-publishing this. I'm not going through a publisher because I don't think a publisher, I haven't seen a publisher that knows this market or has the contacts that I do. I have an enormous list of contacts right now. And if I'm going to be doing that much work anyway, and I would, most publishers don't do much for marketing any book unless you're on the top of their A-list. You know, why would I give up that chunk of my business and a big part of money for stuff I'd be doing anyway? Yeah.
Yep, that's a good question. And so on Tuesday, I interviewed David Sparks, and he started off as as I call it a traditional author, meaning went through a publisher, and after a couple books, realized that what he wanted to do, he needed to be outside of the traditional publishing world, and he became a self-publisher as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's what I find really interesting is that the people that I'm talking to, just in general, that are writing, that are looking at traditional avenues versus self-publishing, it's really shifting. And I'm seeing a lot more people in the same position that you are, where they realize that what they want to do won't be either received well or promoted or handled in the way that they think is appropriate through traditional publishing channels. And now we have these tools. Scrivener is one of them. The iBook store and iBooks Author, and of course then there's Amazon and Kindle, and there's a lot of different options.
I'm not selling through Amazon. That's an interesting thing.
Okay, so that's an interesting twist. Now, why not Amazon?
Well, first of all, Amazon, they take a big chunk of the revenue from it because, you know, you're selling through their platform. Okay, I get that. But my books and the publishing company that I'm founding on this are all about engagement. And, I mean, my books all have links in them so people can go back to the website and take another survey, take another question, you know, answer a question or ask a question. And Amazon owns all the customer data. I don't have any way to re-engage people who bought my book.
Ah.
And I really need to be able to engage people. So that's why I'm going to be independently distributing it. Now, I will have a small teaser version, which will basically be part one of the first book. That'll be available on Amazon, Google Play, all those platforms, cheap, like a couple of bucks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's enough to give people a quick overview of the topic area. But if they want the real meat, they're going to have to get the real book.
Sure, that makes sense. Okay, so now, since you're self-publishing, are you going to be going just ebook, or are you going to have ebook and print options?
You know, I've really thought about that a lot, and I ended up coming full circle. I was only going to do ebook to start, and as it turns out, I'm going to start with print because there's a complication with independently distributing ebooks unless you're only going to a very technical audience, which I am not with this book. A lot of times people will download the file of the book and not know what app on their mobile device to bring it up in.
I can see where that would be a problem.
Yeah. You know, and people will mostly, I think, be reading ebooks on some kind of mobile device. We're so trained that, you just get it on Amazon and it'll pop up in your Kindle app or in your, you know, Google Books app or whatever. If it's a third-party file, it doesn't seem like a big deal to people who have any level of technical expertise, especially with mobile devices. But for most people who are reading ebooks, that's a substantial obstacle. And to start, I don't want the act of opening and reading the book to be an obstacle.
Okay.
Yeah.
I get that.
I will be doing ebooks, but after I've already established the market for selling the book. It would just take too much explanation to say, okay, here's the book and here's what you need to do to read it.
Okay. And so the takeaway I'm getting from that is that ebooks in this case actually becomes almost like a barrier to entry
for non-technical audiences. Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm guessing then that you're probably thinking that your audience is also, or at least as part of your audience, is a group that's really into that tactile, tangible thing. They're probably going to be marking up in the book. And they already know how to use a highlighter versus how do they do the tap and drag or click and drag and highlight?
You know, actually, that's not so much the obstacle, because a lot of these people do read ebooks, but they only read ebooks through those established platforms in the established app that are associated with the sales channel. Mm-hmm. Really, because I've done this. I've sent them like EPUB and .mobi files and just gave them a link and they downloaded it. And then they're like, yeah, so what do I do now? What app do I read this in? And these are people who otherwise are fairly fluent with ebooks, but you take them out of the Amazon universe and they're lost.
Yep. Okay. I can see where that's a problem. Mm-hmm. All right. So now, as you've been working through all this stuff, I mean, you went to the trouble of creating your own database mm-hmm. to keep track of all this information. Mm-hmm. And then you've dumped everything into Scrivener, where you've created essentially Lego blocks for every element in the book. So you can click it all together the way that you need. And you've done this whole transition where you were thinking ebook and now print with ebook to follow. So how does this all wrap up? What have you learned out of this?
Oh my God, so much stuff. First of all, I used absolutely the wrong survey tool to start with. I didn't realize that people were going to be writing as much content in their surveys as they were. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I had big open-ended text fields. Sometimes people were putting over 1,000 words in a single text field. When you try to import data like that as a CSV, a commas separated value file, mm-hmm. bring it into like a spreadsheet or whatever, some sort of table tool that you'd be using for creating a database. Every time I tried to do an export from this one survey tool I was using, it choked. I would end up with data from one field being split across 3 or 4 fields and into different records, and I couldn't make it work. So it was laborious simply to get the information from the survey tool into a database. That was an obstacle I wasn't expecting. That made me really, really mad. But, you know, it was, yeah, that's what
it sometimes was. It just is what it is.
Yeah. And then I also learned that my least favorite question in the world is, when is the book coming out? Like I said, I thought this would be a 6-month deal to start with. It's mm-hmm. 4 years later. But I am actually nearly ready to launch it. And in fact, I'm putting up for people who join the mailing list at offescalator.com the prelude and introduction for the book for free. For anybody who wants it, just join the mailing list and you'll get it.
Cool. All right. I'll make sure there's a link in today's show notes for that.
Thanks. And so basically, I've learned that be willing to be surprised. I mean, when I got this huge response to the survey, after I uncurled from the fetal position, mm-hmm. which took a little while, I realized that I had a much bigger project on my hands and a much bigger opportunity on my hands. And I was like, okay, so one thing I learned is people want to talk about their unconventional relationships for a whole lot of reasons. And they are very engaged in it. People were thanking me for just putting up surveys.
Wow.
About this. I mean, just the amount of gratitude I was getting was stunning. You can't buy that kind of market engagement. It truly is a service-oriented project. And so when people are getting off on the process, they're just into taking the survey, that says that there's a much bigger purpose to this business other than just like writing another blog post or another article, which I've been doing for 25 years and I'm sick of it. Something else that I learned is that just when I think I know what's going on, I have no clue. I really don't. There have been so many times when I thought I knew how I was going to structure the chapters for this book, and as I would get into literally moving around in Scrivener the quotes and figuring out, okay, I've got these 5 great quotes here. How can I string them together in a logical way? And then I realized that the point I was making was something entirely different because I was listening to what people were saying, what the sources were saying. Mm. It wasn't just me writing this book and illustrating it with convenient quotes from people. This is actually structured based on the themes that came up and what people had to say. Having 1,500 collaborators on a book is intimidating.
Yes.
But every time I came to an editorial quandary on it, I would go back to, what are the themes here? What are these people telling me? And that would always answer that question. It was a lot better than trying to figure it out according to what I would think people would want to hear.
Okay. Okay. So now, one last question before we wrap up. Mm-hmm. I'm totally putting you on the spot. Yeah. So when's the book coming out?
Okay. So I have the introduction ready, and what I have left to do is the proofreading, cover design, and printing. So I would say within the next few months, and I will be introducing, again, through the email list, teasers of chapters, so that people get a taste of what's going on. I'm thinking in January is realistically when the print book will be out of the printer and ready for me to ship off to people.
Wow. Okay. So that's actually coming up
soon. That's very soon. Yeah.
Awesome.
It better be, because I'm getting tired of telling everybody, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, okay. Then what people can do in the meantime is go hit your website, offescalator.com.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And the book series is Off the Relationship Escalator, and the first two books will be out in January.
Okay. So we do have to wrap up now. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad that you took the time to be on the show today. I really do appreciate that.
My pleasure, Jeff.
Now, are there any places online in addition to your website where people should come find you?
I'm active on Facebook under my name, Amy Garan, G-A-H-R-A-N. Mm-hmm. And other than that, I haven't been doing a whole lot on Twitter lately. I'd really like to engage with people through the website, offescalator.com. I'm putting up a whole lot of surveys and open questions. If unconventional relationships are a topic that interests you in any way, there's going to be some way that you can actually get into this project and participate in it through the website.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you again for being on the show today.
My
you
pleasure.
Rock. And Casper, thank you for being our sponsor today. Head over to their website, casper.com/TDO. Use the discount code TDO. Get $50 off your mattress delivered right to your door so you can start sleeping better right away, just like I am doing. And listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.